Amen. You'll never regret those decisions. Amen. I was 8 years old. I gave my heart to Jesus. He became my Savior. When I was 16, I gave my life to Jesus and He became my Lord. And I've regretted a lot of decisions in my life, but I've never regretted those two decisions right there. And neither will you. If you got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. Thank you for being in your place this morning. It is a joy and an honor and a privilege to fill in for your pastor. And I appreciate him allowing me to be with you here today. And my wife and I have been anticipating this Sunday for weeks now, and this is always the highlight of our year to get to spend a Sunday with you. And so thank you so much for allowing us to be here and allowing us to come. And I greatly admire you, Pastor. I say that every time because I mean it. It's not just flattery. I praise the Lord for how the Lord is using him, not just here, but all over the country now, in conferences and colleges. And I praise the Lord for that. Rejoice with you for that. And it's good for the pastor to get away sometimes, isn't it? And I tell our church all the time, when our pastor goes away for vacation, I want to get as many miles out of our pastor as we can. Amen. I want him to be around for the long haul. And our pastor, he tells our church, sometimes you need a break from me, and sometimes I need a break from you. And so we're always glad when he can get away and refresh. And we're always the beneficiaries of a time when he can get away and get recharged and come back ready to go again. So praise the Lord, he and his family can get away for a few days. And I'm glad to be here with you today. We make our home. We're born and raised right here in Cleburne, Texas. Just down the road, and now we live and make our home in Rogers, Arkansas for the past 5 years, and we've had the privilege of traveling coast to coast and preaching revival meetings and teen camps and Sundays and Christian schools, and so we've just been trying to stay busy for the Lord. I appreciate your church. It seems every time that I leave here, I'm always challenged to do more for the Lord, and every time I get on Facebook, it seems like Worth Baptist Church is sending out a group out to a mission trip or a mission field somewhere, and certainly your church is oftentimes busier than the cow's tail during fly season. Amen. And so when I think of your church, I think of when the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and he said, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And you have certainly been an example of that and a model of that. And so we rejoice with you, we cheer with you, and we praise the Lord for the testimony of your church. Glad to have my wife here with me, and glad to have my dad here. He surprised me this morning. He came up, and sure appreciate that. And I always enjoy coming through here. We learn a few more names each time we come. We recognize a few more faces. And so thank you so much for being so kind to us. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 this morning. And I just want to give you some simple, helpful Bible messages today. And trust you'll be back again with us tonight as we look into the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, at verse number 3. I want to speak on the life of King Uzziah this morning. And we could begin reading in verse number 1 and 2. But really, verses 1 and 2 bleed over from the previous chapter. And those two verses really conclude and wrap up Amaziah's life. Amaziah was Uzziah's father, and so really the story of Uzziah begins in verse number 3. That's where we'll begin our reading this morning. The Bible says 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. Boy, that's pretty young for a king. How many would agree with that? 16 years old. And it goes on to say, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. That was one of the longest reigns of any king of that southern kingdom there in Judah. The Bible says his mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. May I say this morning, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it's all in the sight of the Lord. He sees it all. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now notice verse number 5. I love this. The Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, we don't know much about this Zechariah. You say, wasn't there a Zechariah later on in the Old Testament, a prophet who wrote the book of the Bible? Yes, but this is not him. This was just a friend that helped Uzziah to walk with the Lord and seek the Lord. How many is thankful for godly friends that help you to do right and to seek the Lord and be close to the Lord? We all need friends like that. It goes on to say, who had understanding in the visions of God. And notice this phrase right here. I want you to get a hold of this. The Bible says, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Well, it's almost like a hint of how this story is going to go this morning. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Father, I pray that you would meet with us here this morning. And Lord, we need you. We know that except the Spirit of the Holy One come down, it's all in vain. Lord, we thank you for the choir and the wonderful music that we have heard has prepared our hearts for the message. But Lord, I know these people did not come to hear from me this morning. They've come to hear from your voice. And I pray that's the voice that they would hear. Lord, I've asked you in private, now I ask you in public to please anoint this preaching hour. Lord, speak through me. Lord, if there's one among us today who has come to church but has never come to Christ, I pray that today would be the day that they would come and be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget 3 years ago walking into the RV dealership. I had a down payment in my hand. We walked into the sale office. I put the money on the table. And I signed a bunch of papers there. And they handed me the keys to our brand new travel trailer. And I remember being so excited. I walked outside. We hooked our Suburban up to that travel trailer. And we pulled that travel trailer around the building and made our way out towards the exit of the dealership. We pulled onto the main road when the thought had hit me, I have never pulled a trailer before in my life. And this is not just some 20-foot trailer you take out on the weekends. This is a 37-foot travel trailer, 3 slides. It's a bumper pull. It is just a massive trailer. And so I begin to think, how's this gonna work? So we made our way out to the main road, and we traveled about 2 miles through some red lights until finally we got to the interstate. Now, I did pretty well on the main road, but the interstate was a different animal altogether. We went underneath the overpass. We went onto the on-ramp, we pulled onto the interstate, and as soon as I got on the interstate, everything changed. All of a sudden, armpits were soaked. I mean, beads of sweat came pouring down my forehead. Knuckles were white on the steering wheel. I was going 45 miles an hour down the interstate with this trailer. I mean, grandmas were speeding past me, honking. There was 2 miles of cars behind me. People were saying things to me that I cannot repeat in church this morning. Finally, we got down to our exit to where our home is, and we pulled off and finally got that trailer pulled in and parked. Now, listen, that was 3 years ago. Since that time, we pulled it multiple times now. In fact, just a couple of months ago, we pulled it across town to have some work done on it. We pulled it back across town and parked it again. And when I got done parking it, I told my wife, I said, that is the most comfortable I have been pulling that trailer in all the time that we have owned it. Now, say, isn't that how life works? You do something for the first time, and you're a nervous wreck. And man, you're just pleading with the Lord. Lord, you got to help me. Lord, I need you. But after you've done it for a while, you start to get comfortable. After you've done it for a while, you start to get confident. Isn't that how things work in life? Come on now. But the problem comes when you start getting too comfortable and you start getting too confident. And that's certainly what we see here in the life of King Uzziah. And I believe there's 2 overarching takeaway truths from the King of Uzziah and his life that we can take away today. And those 2 truths are this. Number 1, humility took him up and pride took him down. I come to tell you today, based on the authority of the Word of God, that humility will take you up and pride will take you down. I want to preach on this subject this morning, the downfall of pride. The downfall of pride. But you notice 3 aspects from the life of King Uzziah, a man who went from royalty to leprosy. Notice with me, number 1 this morning, a discernible pattern in his life. A discernible pattern in his life. Notice the Bible says here in verse number 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. You don't see it there, but in the Hebrew, the way the wording is constructed, it signifies intensity. And so the truly means that he set himself up with determination to seek after God. In other words, here was a man who felt his need for God. Have you ever been in a position like that where you felt your need for God, where you said, God, if you don't help me, and if God, if you don't bless, and if God, if you don't get in this and move and work and bless, Lord, it's going to be a disaster and it's going to fall apart. Well, that's how Uzziah felt as he became the king of Judah, the king there, that southern kingdom. In fact, I love the phrase there, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It literally means to tread a path. It means to tread a path. In our church, back behind our church, we have a large grassy field, and from the asphalt to the back fence, it is covered in grass from side to the side to the other side. It is covered in grass except for one area, and that is the area right around the playset and the playground. And throughout the school year, we have a school at our church, and throughout the school year, those young people will will go out and multiple times a day, little feet will trample the ground and trample the grass, and now the grass is completely gone around there. They have wore out a path and tread a path all around that playground. When it says that he sought after God, it means that he tread a path between him and God. To seek after the Lord means going to him for wisdom and help so often that you wear a path to God. And I believe there's two reasons that drove him in his humble desperation to seek after God. I think the first clue is found here in verse number one. The Bible says, "And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king of the room of his father Amaziah." He was 16 years old when he became the king. Let me ask you a question this morning. What were you doing when you were 16 years old? I remember being 16 years old. I got my driver's license. I got my first job. I got my first cell phone. And listen to me, it wasn't an iPhone. I said it wasn't an iPhone. You could call, text, and play snakes. Amen. And I'm not old enough to remember black and white televisions, but I'm old enough to remember black and white cell phones. And so what were you doing when you were 16 years old? He became king of Jerusalem. He became a king of Judah at 16 years old. No doubt, I'm sure he knew because of his father, at some point he would become the king. He would take the throne. But I believe the wording here, the Bible says that last phrase, they made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. I believe he knew one day he would take the throne, but his father was assassinated, and I believe that day came sooner than he realized, or sooner than he thought it would be. And all of a sudden, it is an experience. Now, as a 16-year-old kid, he is in charge of leading a nation and providing for a nation and protecting a nation. Have you ever been put in a situation where you thought to yourself, boy, I'm in over my head. Well, I didn't sign up for this. I don't feel old enough for this. I don't feel like I'm ready for this. That's where he was, and he was driven to seek the Lord in that humble desperation, and he says, God, I need you. Can't you hear his prayers? He says something like this, God, I know nothing, and God, you know everything. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need wisdom. I need grace. I need help. Have you ever been put in a situation like that? Remember when you're about to have your first baby, ma'am? And the baby showers are taking place, and your friends and your family were excited for you, and you were thrilled about the idea of welcoming a brand new baby into the world, and everyone was excited for you. But when you laid down in bed at night, the reality began to sink in that you're about to have a baby, and you're going to be responsible for keeping another human being alive. And the reality of that set in, and you thought to yourself, I've never been a mother before. I've never done this before. Lord, I need your help. Remember, sir, when you're about to get married and you could not wait to get married and begin your life with your brand new bride, and you were excited about it and others were excited for you. But when everybody else was away and you were all by yourself, you thought to yourself, Lord, I've never done this before. I've never been here before. Lord, I can take care of me and I provided for me, but now I'm responsible for being a husband and providing for my wife. Lord, I've never done this before. God, I need you. And boy, in those early days of humble desperation, you were driven to God and you sought after God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Can I ask you a question this morning? What does the path between you and God look like this morning? At one time, it was a well-worn path. At one time, it was a well-tread path. But some of you don't seek God like you used to. And some of you don't seek God for wisdom and grace and help like you used to. Can I say this morning? Those that still seek God in 2019, God still prospers them. Those who still keep Jesus first. Well, that sounds like a theme around here, hasn't it? Those who keep Jesus first and obey him and walk with him and seek after him, God prospers them. And when you begin to read that, well, he had a well-worn path between him and God. He was a man who in his humble desperation has felt his need for God and sought God for wisdom and sought God for guidance and sought God for grace. And as he did that, God began to prosper him. And in verse number 6, all the way down through verse number 15, we find one great accomplishment after another that God did through him. And I say this, prosperity is not in the context of necessarily financial prosperity. Material prosperity, it's in the context of God using your life. And that's what God did in King Uzziah's life. And in verse number 6, here's what we find. God prospered him in his battle as a soldier. The Bible says, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath. God blessed him on the battlefield. He began to take over cities, and he did not just demolish the cities, but he took these hostile territories and turned them into peaceful neighborhoods. In fact, the Bible says in verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines. It goes on to say in verse number 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem. He wasn't just a soldier and a man of war and a man of battle. He was also prosperous as a builder. He built towers. The Bible says in verse number 10, and he built towers in the desert. He began to fortify Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. In fact, the Bible says in the end of verse number 10, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. God blessed him as a farmer, and the agricultural began to flourish, and the bounty began to appear all over the slopes of Jerusalem. It goes on to say in verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men. The Bible says in verse number 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets. Most times in the Old Testament, a soldier would have to provide his own armor and his own gear for the battlefield. But here, Uzziah provides all those things for his men. In fact, notice verse number 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines. Be honest this morning. How many said that's the first time I knew that word was in the Bible? Those were engines. It's not the kind you're thinking about. Those were catapults. And so he built, that was inventive. That was ingenuity. And he built these catapult systems and means of defense all along the walls and the towers of Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, every once in a while, you'll meet a man who most of the time, most men are real good at one thing. But every once in a while, you'll find a man who's good at everything. And it seems here that everything that Uzziah touched just turned to gold. You say, why was that? Because he was a man who sought God, and God prospered all that he did. Can I say this? Success comes from God. Success comes from God. Hang with me, because I got an important truth I want to share with you this morning that I believe that the Lord has tied into your theme here in the church. And God began to prosper him, and God began to bless him, and God gave him success, and God used him in a marvelous, magnificent way. Mark it down. There was a discernible pattern in his life. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But notice number 2 this morning, I also see a dangerous problem. I don't just see a discernible pattern in his life, I also see a dangerous problem in his life. Notice that the Bible says here, the last phrase of verse number 15, and his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Notice the first word of verse number 16, but. Well, it's an ominous word, isn't it? Well, how many people in the Bible and how many stories do you read where they begin so well, but somewhere in their life and somewhere in the story, there's that ominous but. Let me say to you this morning, just because you begin well doesn't mean that you'll end well. Just because you begin well doesn't mean that you're going to end well. And it goes on to say, but when he was strong, but after he was successful, after he was blessed, after he was prosperous, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. May I remind you, the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. See, there's a subtle danger when you begin to become successful and you experience God's blessing and prosperity in your life. And that subtle danger is this: instead of his blessings making you humble, they make you proud. And his heart lifted up, and here this man begins to get a big head and a big heart, and his heart is filled with pride. Now listen to me, I believe the point here is this. I don't believe this took place overnight. I don't think he went from a man who had a humble desperation, was seeking after God, to waking up the next morning being a man that was arrogant and full of pride. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens very subtly, and I believe there's some clues that indicate that. Notice the last phrase of verse number 8, please. The Bible says, verse number 8, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad. Notice the last half of verse number 15, and his name spread far abroad. Verse 8 said his name spread abroad. Verse 15 says his name spread far abroad. I believe as he began to travel and go to different places, people would be introduced to him, and they would say things like this: "Oh, we've heard about you. Uzziah, there's never been a king like you before. Uzziah, we've heard about your army. We've heard about Jerusalem. We've heard about your buildings. We've heard about your crops and your cattle. We've heard about the great things that you did." And listen to me, early on in his life, he would respond and say something like this. He would say, "Oh no, that was God. The army, that was God. The buildings that we have, that was God. The agriculture, hey, that was God." But I think there came a time in his life, listen to me, he stopped deflecting the praise and he started accepting the praise. You better be very careful what you do with praise. And it finally got to the point when people began to pat him on the back and recognize him. By the way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the public admiring an individual. The problem comes with the person being admired. And people begin to congratulate him and say, "Uzziah, there's never been a king like you. You've grown the army and you built the buildings and your agriculture is prospering. You're doing great and mighty things." And I think he began to say things like this: "Well, now that I think about it, you know, we kind of tweaked this and tweaked that. And we just did a little something here. And now that I think about it, it is pretty impressive." Well, that is pretty impressive. And little by little, the pride began to sink into his heart. You better be very careful how you handle praise in your life. We were with a pastor not long ago, and here in the state of Texas, preaching a youth conference, and that particular pastor and his wife, they just had some wonderful kids. I mean, these kids had heart for God. They had just a spirit of excitement, and we don't hold preachers' kids to higher standards. I didn't get one amen on that, did I? Well, we're going to rewind that and try that one more time. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to try that again. We're not going to hold preachers' kids to higher standards. They're growing just like everybody else. But these particular kids, they just had great spirits, and they were just obedient and respectful and had a spirit of excitement about them, and they truly did want to live and honor the Lord with their lives. I mean, they're small kids and teenagers. And so when my wife sees something like that, she'll pull that wife aside, and she'll say, "Well, what did you do with these kids to make them turn out this way?" And listen to me, that pastor's wife just hung her head and began to shake her head and said, "It is only the grace of God that these kids have turned out the way they have." She said, "We messed up so many times, and we dropped the ball so many times, and we failed so many times." She said, "It is only the grace of God." The other day, we were in a state in the South preaching a revival meeting, and Wednesday night before the service, we went to a man's house and had dinner, and normally on the road, that's a normal thing that we usually do, but this particular night, that man was a millionaire, and he invited us to his house, and I've never been to a millionaire's house before, and so gave us the directions. We pulled on, went out to the country and found his house, and we went through the gates there and drove down a long driveway to get to his house. There was fences on each side, and large pastures on this side, and large pastures on that side, and there was horses and cows and large tanks of water. And finally we got down not to his house but to his compound. There was multiple houses there. One house he lived in, one house was like a playhouse. There was a hangar for his airplanes. I remember pulling in, I thought, "I hope we're in the right place." And he stepped out and welcomed us in, and we parked the car and got out, and we walked to the doors there, and there's a kind of a patio area, and we walked into his kitchen, and it was a massive kitchen. His dining hall was over there, a long table, chairs on both sides. He welcomed us into the family room, and there was just giant curtains and expensive-looking things. I told my wife, "Don't touch anything, amen." And off to that side, they had a piano, just a room just for the baby grand piano. It was kind of a hexagon room. There was large windows on each side, and I looked up and there was paintings on the ceilings. Listen, if you have paintings on your ceiling, you are rich, amen. And I thought, "What in the world? Is this the Sistine Chapel?" I thought, "My soul." And so, but the whole time we were there, the people we were with, other friends there, they begin to compliment this couple and say, "Your house is gorgeous. This is magnificent. This is incredible." And each time someone would compliment them, he would say this: "God's been good to us. God's been kind to us. God's been gracious to us." Let me ask you a question. What do you do with praise? Be careful you don't accept the praise. Be sure you deflect the praise. It goes on to say in verse 16 again, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed, he sinned against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now that he's proud, and now that he's arrogant, he's not content to just be Uzziah the king. Now he wants to be Uzziah the priest, and now he begins to cross lines that he has no business crossing, and he starts to step out of the bounds that God has laid for him. And as a king, he was not allowed to be the priest. He was not allowed to just barge into the temple, but that's what he does. And the Bible says in verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Now his heart is filled with pride. He becomes an arrogant man. He walks into the temple. He grabs the censer, and he starts burning incense on the altar of incense. Listen to me. He crossed the line. That was a sin. The only ones that were allowed to perform those priestly duties were the priests themselves, the son of Aaron. But now his heart is filled with pride. Now his heart is filled with arrogance. And listen to me, when your heart is filled with pride, you become arrogant and you don't think the rules apply to you. When you get arrogant, you don't think the rules apply to you. And when your heart is proud, listen to me, you'll begin to receive the flirtatious advances of the secretary at work. When you get proud and your marriage starts to hit a dry spell, you'll get on Facebook Messenger and you'll start chatting with old high school boyfriends because you don't think the rules apply to you. Listen to me, pride's a dangerous thing. And you'll start crossing boundaries that before you would never cross. And you start stepping across lines that before you would never step across, because your heart is filled with pride. But notice what happens. It says in verse number 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests, that's 81 priests in all, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. They said, Uzziah, you've crossed the line. You stepped out of bounds. You sinned against the Lord. Get out of the temple, Uzziah. You're not allowed to do this. But notice what happens in verse number 19. Notice his response. Then Uzziah was wroth. Now listen, we don't use the word wroth in 2019. That's an old Bible word. No teenager backs the car into the mailbox and says, oh man, mom and dad are going to be wroth with me. Come on now, we don't use that word anymore. But it does look a whole lot like wrath. It literally means raging like a storm. Well, here the last 2 months, in late May and June, it's been tornado season around here, hasn't it? And up in northwest Oklahoma, Arkansas and the east side of Oklahoma, we've just almost every day have had tornado sirens going off and alerts on our son. It's been a season of storms up in our area. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond when a godly friend or a godly individual in your life corrects you? Sir, what happens when your wife comes to you and says, honey, I love you, I want the best for you, but I think there's some areas of your life that you're not aware of, and I think you need to work on. Let me ask you a question. What happens next? Ma'am, what happens when your husband comes to you and says, honey, I think there's some blind spots in your life that you're not seeing, and I love you, and I want the best for you, and I think there's some areas right here, honey, that you need to work on. What happens next? For some of you ladies, when your husband corrects you, tornado sirens start going off. Come on now. Pride will make you angry. Show me an angry man, I'll show you a proud man. Show me an angry woman, and I'll show you a woman whose heart is filled with pride. Arrogant and angry. How you respond to godly correction in your life reveals the condition of your heart. Notice what it goes on to say here in verse number 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. Because he refused to repent, because of his pride, that led to sin. His sin led to judgment, and leprosy breaks out over his body. Listen to me. There's a very clear cycle that takes place not only in his life, but in many lives throughout the Bible. You begin to walk in humility and seek the Lord, and because of your humility, God begins to bless you. But oftentimes, because of our blessing, unfortunately, that leads to pride, and then pride leads to sin, and then sin leads to judgment. Well, it's a nasty cycle, isn't it? It's a cycle that goes over and over in the Bible. And for some of you, it's a cycle that goes over and over again in your life as well. God help us to break the cycle this morning. How many would say this morning, we need a revival of humility. We need a revival of humility in our marriage. We need a revival of humility in our lives. We need a revival of humility in our church. Come on now. We need to walk in humility. Number one, there was a discernible pattern in his life. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. Number two, there was a dangerous problem. The blessings led to pride, which resulted in the judgment of God. And then notice lastly, number three, I see destroyed potential. I see destroyed potential. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was also cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now because of his sin and the leprosy, he's been isolated from the palace. He's isolated from the temple. He can no longer even worship there anymore. He's isolated from everyone else. And for the last 6 years of his life, he co-reigns with his son Jotham until he dies. In fact, after he dies, he's not even buried in the tomb with the rest of the kings. He's separated in his own tomb. And notice what his tombstone reads in verse number 23, that last phrase, for they said he is a leper. Excuse me. It didn't say that he was a king. It didn't even say that he was a king who became a leper. All it says was that he was a leper. Watch it now. All the great things that he did in his life were forgotten, and the only thing they remembered about him was that he was a leper. Just because you begin well doesn't mean that you will end well. Can I say this? Everybody likes a story with a good ending. Am I right on that? Come on now. Everybody likes a story with a good ending. In fact, listen, I like it. You like one. In fact, that's why the day after Thanksgiving, all the way to Christmas Day, your wives and daughters are parked on the couch watching Hallmark Christmas movie marathons. Amen. Why? Because everybody likes movies with a happy ending. But not every story has a good ending. Not every life has a good ending. Not every marriage has a good ending. Not every church has a good ending. Just because you begin well doesn't mean that you will end well. Can I leave you with a word of hope this morning? Maybe you found that your life in the latter years has been destroyed by pride. And because of pride and because of the judgment of God maybe on your life, you've lost everything you once had. I mean, think about it. The last 6 years of his life, he lives in isolation, and he co-reigns with his son Jotham. But you know what happens after he dies? Out of 130 years worth of kings, Jotham is the only one who good is exclusively written about. The only one. Maybe, just maybe, after the judgment of God fell on Uzziah's life, maybe he restored his relationship with the Lord. And he used the remaining 6 years of his life to pour into his son and say, Jotham, don't be like me. Jotham, you walk with the Lord. Jotham, you don't become an arrogant man. You don't become an angry man. You don't cross the lines that God has placed in your life. Jotham, you walk in humility. Jotham, you seek the Lord. Can I say this? Allow God to use your failures to help somebody else succeed. God can use your failures to help somebody else succeed. Listen to me this morning. Humility will take you up, but pride will take you down. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, just a simple Bible message this morning, just a word of warning to us that are here today. Well, when I think of Worth Baptist Church and the theme of Jesus first, you know what's going to happen as you put Jesus first in your family? You know what's going to happen as you put Jesus first in your home and in your church and in your life? Did you know when you do that, God's going to bless you? God's going to bless your marriage, and God's going to bless your home, and God's going to bless your church. But as we saw today, when you begin to seek the Lord and put Him first, and God begins to bless, if we're not careful, we can get proud of our blessings. And that pride can result in sin, and God will have to judge the sin that's in our life. I say this, if you experience the blessing of God, the success of God, and prosperity in your life today, it's because of God. Can I encourage you to keep on seeking Him and walking with Him and keeping Him number one? Maybe this morning God has confronted you, just like the priest confronted Uzziah. The Holy Spirit of God has confronted pride in your heart this morning. I believe, I can't say for sure, but I believe in that moment if Uzziah would have repented of his pride and of his sin, I believe maybe God would have spared him from the judgments. But he ignored the conviction, he ignored the warnings, he ignored the commands, and as a result, he suffered the judgment of God in his life. This morning, if God is working in your heart, do not ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Humble yourself. Friend, the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. God is not asking you to walk a path that he has not already walked himself. The Bible says that Jesus said he took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself. Can I say because Jesus humbled himself and condescended down to this sinful earth and died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin, that we can become children of God this morning? That's good news. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a relationship with God? Does God want to bless your life? Oh, yes. Does he want to lead you? Yes. Does he want to guide you? Yes. But he can't do that if you're not his child. I wonder if you're here this morning and say, preacher, God's been working on my heart, and I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Brother Taylor, would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anyone like that today at all? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I got one coming right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see a hand over here. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven one day. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Anybody else? Can I say this? Your pride will keep you from going to heaven. Your pride will keep you from going to heaven. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're going to heaven, won't you come and set your pride aside and humble yourself? And won't in just a moment when we have an invitation, won't you walk down this aisle and let a man, let another woman take a Bible and introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ and show you how you can become a child of God today. Would you do that today? Father, please bless this time of invitation this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. And if God spoke to your heart this morning about pride, won't you come and confess that to him this morning? If you raised your hand for salvation, won't you step out of your seat, walk right down this aisle, and meet one of these men or women here at the front and just simply say, I need to be saved today. They'll show you what to do. They'll help you. They'll sit down and talk with you. Let me ask you a question. What does the path look like between you and God this morning? At one time, it was a well-worn path. But some of you don't seek God like you used to seek God. Won't you change that this morning? Won't you come and make Jesus number one in your life again? Won't you come and make Jesus first again? He doesn't want to just have a place in your life. He wants to have first place in your life. He doesn't just want to have prominence. He wants to be made preeminent in your life. That's what it means to seek God. You say, Brother Taylor, I'm doing all right. I'm walking with the Lord. God's blessing my life. I'm keeping myself humble. I know everything God's good in my life is because of Him. Listen to me, just because you begin well doesn't mean you'll end well. Maybe there's somebody here who says, Jesus, I don't want my life to end up like Uzziah's. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. The altars are open. The invitation's yours. If you'd like to come and spend some time with the Lord, this is your opportunity. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray for you. Won't you come this morning?